Well, let me encourage you to turn back to the passage that we read from Joshua chapter 24. We are coming towards the end of this sixth book of the Bible. And the closing two chapters, 23 and 24, record basically what happened as Joshua is coming to the end of his journey in this world. And they present similar themes, reviewing what God has done in the past and, if you like, challenging the people to respond in covenant and in dedication and in fresh commitment to serve the Lord. In fact, the word covenant appears a couple of times in it. If you've got your Bible, you'll see it there in chapter 23 and down towards the end of the section, and also in chapter 24 and verse 25. On that day, Joshua made a covenant for the people. And there at Shechem, he drew up for them decrees and laws. And you have it, as I said, at the end of chapter 23 and verse 16. It was an occasion for them to gather together and commit themselves afresh to the Lord. Let me just show you here. And that's where it happened. It happened at a place called Shechem. We're told, beginning of 24, verse 1, Joshua assembled all the tribes of Israel at Shechem. And for those of you who are interested in the maps and seeing where these places are, you can see Shechem there right in the center above Jerusalem. Shechem actually, and I don't have time to really elaborate on this, but Shechem was a very, very significant place for the people of God. If you go back to Genesis 12, it was the place where Abram, when he traveled from the far-off country, he came, we're told, in Genesis 12, to Shechem. And the Lord said to Abram there, "To your offspring, Abram, I'm going to give this land." And Abram built an altar there at Shechem. Wind the clock forward a little bit, and in Genesis 33, we're told that Jacob, after he had been reunited with his brother, his estranged brother Esau, he set up an altar at Shechem. So it's a very important place. It's a place, and we understand how history resonates in a deep way. Well, Shechem resonated in a deep way with the people of God. There was a really deep resonance with Shechem. It was a place where they remembered how God had promised to do certain things, and God had fulfilled those promises. So can you see this? If I can put it as simply as this, many, many, many years before Joshua gathered the people at Shechem, God had said to Abram at Shechem, "Abram, I'm going to give you and your descendants this land." And here they are, having been through all the battles, here they are in the land at Shechem. And in that sense, it was a place of fulfilled promise. It was a place of promise and looking to God to fulfill the promise. And strange as it may seem, to put it this way, folks, we have had a baptism here this morning. And there is a sense, and you'll probably not have heard this before, maybe you will, but there is a sense in which, if I can use this phrase, that baptism is a Shechem. Shechem was a place of promise, a place where God said, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to be with you. Now you be faithful to me and I'll be faithful to you. And that is what baptism is. God calls people to be faithful to him and he will be faithful to them. Essentially, that's another way of looking at it. Baptism is a Shechem. But this morning, in the limited time that we have, even though we've the whole of the passage in front of us, I really want to focus on chapter 24 and verse 15, where it says at the end, "But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." But let me just put it into its context of Joshua 24. The first 13 verses, I'm just flying through this pretty quick just to give you a big picture. What God has done, the first 13 verses, read the first 13 verses, it's all about what God has done. And then verse 14 and 15, the challenge to the people, now choose what you're going to do. Make a decision. Choose whom you're going to serve. And then verse 16 to 24 is really an account of how the people say, well, we're going to serve the Lord. And Joshua challenges them because he understands it's easy for people to say things. He understands, like a pastor and a minister and other people in leadership, that it's easy for all of us to say things. But do we really mean them? And he really challenges these people in those verses. And then the last little section, there's a stone of witness set up. See verse 27. This stone will be a witness. A stone that he set up under the oak tree there in Shechem. But as I say, this is the challenge that I just want to focus on just for a little while before our time goes, folks. Choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, but as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. This is the challenge that I want to throw out to you this morning from the Word of God. A challenge thrown out to families, whether you're here today as a two-parent family or a single-parent family, that's not the issue. But a challenge that you would, by the grace of God, bring up your children in the ways of the Lord. We live in an age, you don't need me to say this, but we live in an age where the centuries, millennia old, family unit of a man and a woman and children is being intentionally attacked and eroded and undermined. That is the age in which we live. The Presbyterian Church in Ireland is a theologically Protestant and Reformed church. So what is our perspective on this whole thing about, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord? Well, let me say a couple of things, and I've said these things before, but we need to keep saying these things. Let us realize afresh that the home, and that's why that resource that the Presbyterian Church has produced is such an excellent resource, close to home, the primary place for the teaching of our children is not the church, but the home. That's always been the position of the Presbyterian Church. Yes, of course, the church can add to that and do lots of wonderful and helpful things, hopefully. But the primary place for the Christian upbringing of children is in the home. Part of Christian discipleship is to seek to bring our children up in the faith that has been passed on to us. And it is actually a shirking of responsibility to say, well, the church will do that for me, or the school will do that for me, or some other organization will do that for me. Actually, if you are a parent here today, I say to you, it is your responsibility to bring your children up in the ways of the Lord. It is your primary duty. And let me put that a different way. The Christian nurture of children is really one of the most, I can't actually think of too many other things that are more important in life. I can't actually. the Christian nurture of children. Ephesians 6 and verse 4 says, bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. And this term, Christian nurture, it's been around for a long time. It's there in our Bibles. It's the term that's been used for generations to describe the almost discipleship-oriented way of passing on the faith to children. You know, ordinary is good. Sometimes we live in an age where everything has to be extraordinary, and otherwise we're not really interested. But ordinary is good. And the ordinary means, if you like, of sitting down and praying with your child before they go to bed, reading them a story from the Bible, catechizing your children, bringing them to church faithfully and regularly. Our forefathers knew that those things were absolutely imperative. And yet we now live in an age, if I can say this generally, but still making the point, we now live in an age where it seems that children are growing up and they are the rulers of their house. Oh, I don't want to go to church. I don't want to go to Sunday school. Okay, you don't have to go to Sunday school. You don't have to go to church. Folks, we are undermining ourselves. And the world is undermining us, and we are actually helping them every time we subscribe to that foolishness. Because it is foolishness. Because the truth of the matter is this, that if you and I, if we do not nurture our children and our grandchildren in the things of God, who will nurture them? The world. The world. And we will actually reap what we sow. So I'm trying to counter that, and I'm trying as a pastor and a minister to say, look, let us stand up and, as it were, sometimes the best defense is to go on the offense. Let us stand up and rise up, as we will sing in a minute, and defend our churches and defend our children. Men, be men. Take a lead in your home. Young woman, young boys here today, and you're not even married, but resolve in your heart that if and when, in the providence of God, you do get married, that you will, if God gives you children, you will bring them up in the ways of the Lord. The battle lines are being drawn in this day and age in which we live. There are enough out there who have no time whatsoever for the traditional view of the family and the traditional understanding of the gospel, and they are out, make no mistake about it, to undermine it. They hate it. They hate it. So stand up and be counted as Christian people. And I say this, hopefully, not in a strident way, but in a humble way, and yet in a firm way, because we do live in that kind of age. It was lovely to be able to watch that little video. That's why I also read from Deuteronomy 6 and verse 4, impress these things on your children. It's a command. It's not a take it or leave it. Because if you don't, as I say this again, if you don't impress the things of the Lord in a loving, gracious way upon your children and seek to show them the wisdom of following in the ways of Jesus, the world will impress upon your children and grandchildren the ways of the world. So pray with and for your children, that they would give all that they know of themselves to all that they know of Jesus. Read the Bible with your children. Show them unconditional love. Be an example to them. Bring them to church. Get the word out there. Don't just send children to church, but bring them to church. And again, you have to understand the spirit in which I say these things. I say them, I trust, in humility, but with a deep concern. And I'm sorry to say this, but dropping children off to Sunday school and church and then picking them up again after church is over actually simply teaches the child that God is not important enough for mum or dad to be at church. You're actually teaching your children the very thing that will undermine any faith in them in the future of their lives. It's really a disaster, and it needs to stop. If we have any concern whatsoever for our children and for our grandchildren and for future generations, and spend time with children. As you know, the way children spell love is T-I-M-E. So let me say what I'm saying just in a slightly different way, and then I finish. Presbyterians believe that faith is taught and caught. We believe that. And so Joshua says to these people, look, folks, make a choice here. Who are you going to serve? Are you going to serve me, or are you going to serve somebody else? It's decision time. Choose you yourselves this day whom you're going to serve. And the challenge goes out to all of us here today and to many people in this community. People Presbyterian by name, but are they at church today? No, they're not at church today. Why are they not at church today? I don't know. No idea. And we want to throw out this challenge. If you have a real concern for your children and for your family and for your church and for your community and for the traditional values that you cherish within your culture, you need to wake up and smell the coffee and stand up for what you profess to believe. And get out of your bed on a Sunday morning and come to church with your family. You really do. Because if you don't do it, the world is not going to do it. They are going to sweep you to the side. So it's wake up time. Sorry to be a bit strident, but it's important, these issues. Joshua says, but as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. So folks, who are we going to serve this morning? I know in one sense I'm preaching to the converted, but I hope that you will go out and encourage other people to hear this and to come and to get involved and to influence their children and their grandchildren for the things of the Lord. Let me say a couple of things just before I finish. Maybe you're here today and your children are growing up and you feel that you've maybe missed an opportunity, and maybe that makes you feel a little bit sad and dejected, and you maybe feel, is it too late? Well, look, folks, it's never too late to do what's right. It's never too late to do what's right. Somebody once said this: your children may be reluctant to embrace your faith, but keep at it. Preach less, pray more. Show to your children, they might be growing up now, show to them the reality of Christ in your own life. Show your child, even though he or she might be growing up now, show them that Christ's love has touched you and it means everything to you. And it will take time, but all is not lost. Keep at it. Cry unto God for your children, even though they're growing up now. Cry unto God for them. Bring them to the throne of grace and pray that even though they maybe at this stage have wandered from the faith, pray that they would be restored and brought back. Christian fathers and mothers here today, whether you're in a two-parent home or a single-parent situation, God calls you to serve him in your home. Joshua says, choose this day who you're going to serve. And Joshua says, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And the people in Joshua's day said, we're going to serve the Lord. And Joshua says, well, I'm going to hold you to it. And there's a sense in which, as we come to the conclusion of this service, we've sang, who is on the Lord's side? Who will serve the King? I trust and pray that we will go from this place, whether we're young people, not yet parents, or whether we're parents of little children, or whether we're parents of grown-up children, or whether we're grandparents, or whatever our situation, that we will see the crucial importance in this day and age of standing up for what we profess to believe. Because if we don't stand up for these things, many will sweep us to the side. But when you have these things in your heart, when you know what you believe, you'll stand up for it. By the grace of God and the power of the Holy Spirit, in humility and yet firmly, and say, this is where I stand. This is what I believe. I'm going to pass it on to my children. I'm going to pass it on to my grandchildren, because I believe it's the word of God. It's the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. O God, our Father, help us to rise up as men and women who profess to follow Jesus. We pray, Lord, that you would give us the grace to do that, the humility, and yet to be firm in what we believe. We pray that we might encourage others to come and join with us in our church or whatever church we belong to, and that together as children and older people, we might stand by the gospel, and that we might pass it on to those who come behind us. Lord, help us, we pray, for Jesus' sake. Amen.